Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. Scary stories are a classic part of childhood. A whistling wind or a bump in the night heighten the drama of these tales and keep listeners coming back for more.
Like a lot of kids, Anna Lardinoy loved these stories, but unlike a lot of adults, she's made her living through telling them. Lardinoy is the founder of Gothic Milwaukee, through which she gives haunted historical walking tours of the city.
She's also the author of Milwaukee Ghosts and Legends. She spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers about her new book and what first drew her to ghostly tales.
I've loved ghost stories ever since I was a little kid. When I was growing up, we used to take turns telling each other scary stories and seeing who could be the scariest. And I always loved that activity. I would keep up late at night being so scared about the stories that I already told that I knew I made up. So I've just always been intrigued by that genre. And as I got older, I made doing ghost tours part of my vacations. So every new city I'd go to a haunted walking tour because I think it's a really fun way to learn history in the city and take a different look at new places. So with all that love of the storytelling and that ghostly aspect, I've started Gothic Milwaukee, my walking tours here. And in gathering all of those tales, I had a number of stories that really didn't fit into tours. So a book seemed like a great way to share them with people.
Yeah. So you've taken a number of tours around the country, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm. Even the world.
Even the world.
Yes.
Are there recurring themes that
Absolutely.
You see?
Absolutely. I was actually just talking about this week, how almost every classic theater is a haunted theater, and they're all haunted in almost always the same ways. There is always, you know, an actor who still has not taken their last bow. There is always a stage manager who is still watching over the house. There is always someone in the lighting room in all of these theaters and all over the country. And philosophically, it's hard to understand why that is. Is that part of nature that, you know, these people fill these roles? Is it part of our collective imagination? It's hard to know exactly why that is, but there are definitely reoccurring themes. And I think it's because at the heart of all ghost stories, it's a human story. And humans just aren't all that different.
Well, and perhaps it's part of the drama of theater and people who inhabit those spaces.
It could very well be those type of people fill those roles and then they go on to continue to fill those roles. I just did a discussion about haunted theaters in Wisconsin, and one of the ones I talked about was the Grand Opera in Oshkosh. It's not in the book, but it's still really interesting because it's considered one of our most haunted buildings. And the primary apparition there is a man named Percy Keene, and he worked at that theater from 1895 until he died in 1967. So he was there for 72 years, I believe, working there. So in that case, it's not hard for me to believe that his spirit lingers on there because that must have been the bulk of his life.
Yeah. We actually have our own haunted theater here in Milwaukee.
The Riverside is a noted haunted theater. We, of course, have the Modjeska Theater, which is supposed to be famously haunted. And as far as college campuses go, there claims to be two haunted theaters on Marquette's campus. So something about theaters is just a spirit magnet, and they all like to stay around.
Well, and Marquette is considered perhaps the most haunted campus in the state of Wisconsin.
Absolutely.
Where do ghosts seem to linger in Marquette?
Well, ghosts are attracted to that campus for a number of different reasons. And probably the most popular stories go back to dorms that had originally been used for something else. And you might know that one of the dorms used to be a children's hospital. And in that dorm, there are lots of ghostly tales of young patients that have still not made their way out of there. There is also famously a swimming ghost in that dorm who will take late night dips with unsuspecting swimmers. But that's not the only campus around that has these legends. There are stories that refer to Cardinal Stritch and Concordia, and there are even a few that are lingering, they say, at UW-Milwaukee.
At UW-Milwaukee. Are any of those in the book?
The UW-Milwaukee one did not make this book. It may make another, but there are a number of creepy campuses that are highlighted in the book. So it's lots of fun for me to do something like this because I love reading ghost books, but a lot of ghost books I read, I can't tell where they're talking about. And it's so incredibly vague that it could be anywhere. But in this book, there are pictures of the actual locations. The building is identified. It has the address when possible. And I like that for people who are extra curious or want to go to a haunted restaurant or want to drive by a haunted house or just like those stories. There's a little bit more there to cling on to.
Well, it's especially helpful because some of the buildings that might have had a specific name, I should say, mm-hmm. in the ghost story mm-hmm. now are used very differently. Going back to the campus theme, you mentioned right. MSOE and Blatt's Brewery.
Right. Valentine Blatt's story to me is really interesting because it is kind of a nutshell of Milwaukee because it has a beer baron, it has some populist ideas, it has a hard work ethic. It's very Milwaukee. So Valentine Blatt immigrates to America. He ends up working for Braun, who has a brewery. And when Braun dies, Blatt marries his widow. And then it becomes a Blatt's Brewery. And he is a very hardworking man, very well respected in Milwaukee. And you would not think a man like that, who was really known for being down to earth and not showy, would have any paranormal things about him at all. But he had a premonition that he was going to die if he ever went to California, which seems like a very easy thing to avoid. But his wife, every year, went to California to avoid winter. She was in poor health. And one year, she was just not feeling well, and he knew how much she wanted to go out there. And he's like, how am I letting this ridiculous premonition rule me? And so he's like, you know, this is silliness. He goes with her to California. While he's out there, he enters the beer into some contest that they would have not have been in because of his phobia of going to California, and they win. And it's really a long trip because that's how people used to travel at that time. And then it took them, you know, a number of days to get back. And he makes it all the way to St. Paul, and they stop for the night in St. Paul, the train does. And he ends up dying of a heart attack in St. Paul. So he comes back to Milwaukee, but not alive. And this happens so suddenly and so unexpectedly that when the newspapers contact their adult children to get a comment on this, they think it's a mistake. They're like, my dad's not dead. So what a terrible way to find out that your dad died. So they come back like a day later, you know, delay with the dead body. And then a few days later, he's laid to rest in the Forest Home Cemetery. And he was such a well-respected man that even though they wanted to have a private funeral for him, there was a line that took almost 3 hours to get through around their home of people who wanted to pay respect to this man. So that should be the end of this story. It's, you know, unusual that he had that premonition. But many, many people believe that a few days later, his spirit comes back to work and begins working in that office again. And this is such a pervasive belief that in the 1990s, people are still telling this story, and they're telling it even more after this becomes part of the MSOE campus. So as a lark, some of the people who work there pool their money together, and they get a psychic to come and do a seance with them on Halloween night in this office to see if they can summon Blatt's. And so, and I just want to pause to say, I know this story because it was actually in the Milwaukee Journal, published as news, which I love because throughout history, this kind of thing has been published in the paper. So as much as we might want to distance ourselves by being modern or sophisticated, it is so ingrained in our society. But I digress. So they have this seance, and these perfectly sane, employed, wonderful people say that they feel a presence in the room. and it becomes colder, and there's a breeze blowing through. And according to the people there that night, they could not summon Valentin Blatz. However, they do think they connect it with a spirit that may have been involved in the business and did some shady accounting irregularities in the 1930s. And as somebody who is just looking at Milwaukee history, it really doesn't surprise me that Valentin Blatz would not come to a seance. Because I would imagine if you are a man who died and then returned to work, you have no time for foolishness. You are in that office for a reason. You're building your empire. So it doesn't surprise me that they wouldn't. But I think the better part of that story is how much it has captured the imagination of generations of Milwaukeeans and how we're still interested in that story.
Well, there are other ghosts of this ilk, specifically in downtown Milwaukee.
Absolutely.
There's, of course, the Pfister ghost.
Yes.
There's the ghost at the Eagles Club. I actually did a piece on the Eagles Club not so long ago, and I will say the number one thing that everyone asked about as I was doing this research is, oh, well, are you researching the ghost? Because apparently this is a is a huge thing. So I know a bit of this story at this point, but the information has come from a lot of odd sources. What's the story behind the Eagles Club ghost?
Well, you know, that's a great question because I think that I maybe give in the book an overview that there may not be a reasonable story about the rave or Eagles Room ghost. There is definitely someone who did die in the Eagles Club, and they died in the pool. So all of that is very true. However, a lot of the other stories that you hear about, like roaming bands of sinister children, it's really hard to track down historically what could have happened that would cause there to be a group of sinister children that are lurking in the night, because there have been no, at least that I'm aware of, no mass casualty of a number of children. There was no terrible accident where several kids died at the same time or anything. So I'm not sure where those otherworldly children would be, but there are so many stories with that building, and it's really fascinating, and I think it's definitely part of the mystique of going there.
So if you're someone who is reading this book, you know, you're really intrigued about a lot of these ghosts and these legends. You know, as a tour guide in Milwaukee, where would you suggest that they go?
Well, two of my favorite places are, of course, we cannot ignore the Pfister Hotel. The Pfister is Milwaukee's most famously haunted building. And beyond having, in my opinion, one of the most cordial, welcoming ghosts of the whole city, it's an incredibly beautiful place to be. So even if nothing spine-tingling happens, you are going to have an amazing time because it's just truly such a beautiful building. And I have a personal fondness for City Hall because it's so amazingly historic and it's beautiful, and I feel such a sense of civic pride when I'm in there. And even if the stories that are connected to it aren't your cup of tea, you're still going to get a great piece of Milwaukee history there.
All right. Well, Anna, thank you so much for coming in and speaking with me today and telling me a bit about our ghost history.
I thank you so much for having me. I really do appreciate this opportunity.
Anna Lardinoy is the author of Milwaukee Ghosts and Legends, as well as the founder of Gothic Milwaukee, where she gives haunted historical walking tours of the city. Lardinoy spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers.